Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Astros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can you find you at?
You can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
Always positive. Always positive. I mean, they just lost again to the Royals. This is what? They're 1-4 against the Royals this season, by my math. That ain't something to be positive about, Brett. What are you over there smoking? That's crazy. What are you positive about? Nah.
I'm positive that the Astros suck against bad teams. That's what I'm positive about.
I'm kidding. I'm not too worried about this game. It was a bad situation, but you know what? Sometimes you got to just not worry about stuff, and you got to worry about the parts that you need. And that's what rockauto.com has. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On Astros sent you by. So yeah, guys, keep on subscribing to Locked On Astros podcast. We're going up there, and we gave away tickets to Tuesday's game. We gave away tickets to Monday's game, and we're going to be giving away tickets in the third segment to Wednesday's game as well. I know it's going to be a day game, so if you're wanting to go to the day game on Wednesday, make sure you stick around. We're going to give you tickets away, and we'll have a question a little bit later on. So, Brett, hopefully you have a question for that. So the A's are winning right now. The Astros can only control what they're doing. I know that we'll talk about the Alex Bregman news and the Kyle Tucker news today, but this game was a close game. I mean, Zach Greinke did pretty good. He only allowed two runs, only one strikeout. I mean, one home run, two strikeouts, one walk. He basically did pretty good for most of the game, and then the bullpen just kind of imploded again. And the guys you went out and traded for, they imploded again. And the guys you've had, Blake Taylor and Brooks Raley, are the guys who are your savings grace. And it's just like, what the heck's going on right now? It's just everything's like, you're hot, you're cold.
Yeah,
cold,
I mean, I mean, here's the thing. As much as I hate it, you know, I basically think that this team does great against great teams and they suck against bad teams, and there's no rhyme or reason. And hopefully we got a friend that will be joining us here pretty soon, and he can give us kind of a different perspective on that. I'm not jumping off any proverbial MLB cliff. It is frustrating. It is hard to watch these games, you know, and just think, as frustrated as it is for us, I guarantee you, it's just as frustrating, if not more, for this team. And of course, I kind of jokingly tweeted out some things about the Astros. I said, basically, this is the checklist of what the Houston Astros need. Okay. This is what they need, Eric. There are four things on my list that I can find right here. They need to call Michael Bourne and Willie Taveras to do a free base running clinic. Okay. They don't score with the man on second. That player has to run, or the team has to run, 30 foul pole sprints from foul pole to foul pole after the game. Every relief pitcher that misplays a ball in the field, 100 burpees. And number four, effing win. And if you do number four, you don't have to do any of the consequences listed in 1-3. So that solves the problems.
All right, and then you'll have a whole bullpen that cannot move their legs because they're so tired. Yeah, I think that's the situation. I know what you're saying. I understand where you're kind of going with that. You got to teach them or something. But I think at this point in the season, that's not the answer. The Astros they still have a 3-game lead over the A's right now. I know the A's are currently leading right now, and so it's frustrating. The A's have 70 wins, you have 73 wins, so who knows what the situation is, but it's just crazy what's going on. So there were a lot of good things that happened in today's game. I know that Wheelbite mentioned the Taylor Jones outfield assist. Zach Greinke pitched pretty good, and there's a whole lot of good things that actually did happen tonight's game. But the one thing I do want to kind of bring up before we hopefully have our guest, I think he's having some technical issues, but so one thing I do want to talk about is that this was the second smallest crowd since May 13th. And I know that Alex has given us a little crap for not going to the game. I'm going to be out for 3 days. So I've been like, I've been like doing lesson planning, doing videos. And so, so I couldn't go to tonight's game, but this was there was 18,742 games against to watch the Royals. The Royals aren't going to draw a lot of fans. There's not a lot of people that like the Royals. They're not the Yankees. They're not the Cubs. They're not the Braves.
How many did you say? 18,000?
Yeah.
13.
Oh. 18,000.
There was that many? Are you sure?
Yeah.
It looked like an Oakland A's crowd. Why?
You know why? Because of $60 seats. That's why there's a lot of people out there.
That's true. That's true.
But, the smallest crowd, that was the smallest crowd since May 13th when they had 16,340. So who knows how many people are going to be coming out tomorrow. But you have to understand that a lot of schools are starting back. I think HISD did start back this week as well. I know our school district started back last week. So the schools are starting back. So you're going to see a lot smaller crowds. So, this situation is bad. But one thing that was bad in this game, and I didn't realize it was as bad until the end, Jordan Alvarez was 0-for-4 at one point with all four outs to end inning, stranding 8 runners on base.
Yeah, I saw that. That was not good. They were getting the big guy on sliders. Well, the guy had his slider working, and here's the book on Jordan. You get two strikes on him, throwing something down and away. He'll swing at it and miss every time. He won't hit that ball. You don't pitch him low and inside. He'll take it for a home run. He'll tank it. And the pitchers have adjusted to Jordan, and now it's Jordan's turn to adjust. He's got to ambush pitches early and not get to the two-strike count. But that's what I'm saying. But that's the thing, Eric. He's got to ambush early pitches. Right. He can't watch first pitch strikes. Carlos Correa can't watch first pitch strikes. And, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't necessarily know that he was unlucky tonight. He just got good pitches that he couldn't hit. Jeff Bagwell said it best. If they throw a good slider, you're not going to hit it. You're not supposed to hit a good slider. That's why it's called a good slider.
Michael Brantley is also in a little mini slump as well. He was 0-for-5 tonight, and his batting average has dropped down to .315. I believe he is in a 3-for-29 slump, and his batting average has dropped from .332 to .315. I'm not saying that Brantley is the reason why the Astros offense is, this is a team loss when you have a game like this, when everything just kind of implodes. The other day when Ryan Pressly in the bullpen gave it up, the bullpen shouldn't have been in that situation. The Astros offense, after scoring 16 runs and then 12 runs, you shouldn't just all of a sudden be like, oh, well, we forgot how to score. We can only score 2 runs through the first, 10 innings, then we'll give you one more. You can't do that. You've got to score consistently. And the Astros offense just couldn't do that. And then they scored how many runs tonight? 1 run. And it's just, that's why on the little thumbnail tonight, I put like, I think it was Carlos Santana. I mean, not Santana, just saying, hey, talking to Altuve, hey, you need some help scoring some runs here. So that it just, I've never seen it where the team just struggles so bad against these bad teams. But I was talking to Wynn this weekend, and he was just saying that, well, you rather them struggle against the sucky teams. You don't want them to struggle against the good teams, because the good teams are the ones you're gonna be playing in playoffs. And so that makes a lot of sense. You know what else makes a lot of sense? Finding the right place to get your betting on. And you know what? betonline.ag sounds like a great place.
Yeah, well, now that we're in, you know, baseball, the dog days of summer, y'all realize that right now it's the time of year again, and all eyes are turning towards football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest 200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or your mobile device and sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. 100% of what you put in, what you deposit on to a certain amount, you get 100% of that. So they match it. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day Super Bowl promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up using the promo code NFL100. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, baseball, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of the great offers available 2021 season. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code locked on.
You know, instead of hitting the operating room on a Wednesday morning, I'd rather go to Hooters. So tell us a little bit about Hooters on Webster.
Yeah, so Hooters on Webster, 20796 Gulf Freeway, Webster, Texas, 77598. That's the address. Write it down, 20796 Gulf Freeway, Webster, Texas, 77598. Ready for some love bites? We know, even if you're not into spicy, you're into hot. That's why all of our seriously craveable flavors are the best of the best. Wings, burgers, shrimp, and all things that make you drool. That's right. Even on Thursday nights, they have Texas Thursdays, $15 buckets, $5 drafts, where your favorite Hooters girls will be in cutoff jeans and cowgirl boots dancing to Copperhead Road. That's right. And guess what? There is no cover charge. Gulf Freeway, 20796 Webster, Texas. Hooters, tell them Locked On Astros sent you.
Alrighty, so Brian McTaggart tweeted this out earlier, and I think this is pretty interesting. He said that the Astros versus the AL Central defies logic. They're 11-3 against the White Sox, 5-2 against the they're 11-3 against the White Sox and 5-2 against the Indian. I'm trying to understand what he's saying. I get it. The total record. Okay, so against the White Sox and Indians, they're 11-3. The White Sox, they're 5-2. The Indians are 6-1. Sorry. And now against the Tigers, Royals, and Twins, they are 6-13. The Tigers are 2-5. The Royals are 1-4, and their Twins are 3-4. So
I think once you get to the playoffs, I mean, let's guys think back to last season. I know it was a 60 game season. But think what happened. We were a sub-500 team. Not a single person, not even local beat writers, picked the Astros to even beat the Twins. And what did we do? We got one game away from the World Series. And I saw earlier, I can't remember who said there's no way we're going to win a World Series with this team. That is absolutely not true. Hey, we have a special guest that has just joined us, and it is World Series champion Clay Hensley coming to us live from San Diego. We were just talking about how we don't need to hit the panic button, Clay. Remember last year, 2020, how the Astros got on that tear, and you were hanging with us for some of those playoff games. You remember that.
Right.
What is it about a club this good that struggles against bad teams? Is that something to be concerned about going into the playoffs?
Well, I mean, it's obviously something that you don't want to see happen. Look, what the reality of it is that, you know, Dusty Baker, the front office for the Astros, and this kind of would go without saying, I guess, for most of the brass for any major league ball club, is the games that you're supposed to win, you got to win. And, you know, the tough teams where you're going to have a chance, where you're going to come up with some tough pitching, you know, tough lineups for the staff to deal with. Those are the games that, you know, you're trying to split, you know, if things are working out. You know, obviously you want to win series, but those are the games when you stack up a schedule, when you start looking ahead, especially when you got a playoff caliber team, the games that you're supposed to win, you need to be winning. And that you'll find more often than not, when you see ball clubs that are in playoff contention or have strong clubs where they falter, you go back in hindsight and play, you know, armchair quarterback at the end of the season. If they don't make it, it's usually games like this that end up costing you. So yeah, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes it's just the way the game rolls out, you know, for one reason or another. You know, you can't tell me that Zach Greinke is going to get out on the mound and not be any more fired up for this game as he would be, you know, a game that he's dealing with maybe a contender that could be, you know, potential playoff contender, whatnot. So it's just kind of one of those things that have it. You know, some teams have your number. Unfortunately, right now for the Houston Astros, I feel like it's a lot of the clubs that they should be beating.
All right, so I know that Alex Bregman is playing in Sugarland right now. He's got three hits on the night. The other night, he had a big home run. He looks like his bat is up to speed. I know they brought him back to Houston, kind of reevaluate him, give him some time off. Now he's back, and he looks like he's healthy. They're going to bring him back to Houston tomorrow. It sounds like Kyle Tucker is going to come back and to the ballpark tomorrow. He's been working out in a quarantine sort of way. So he's apparently going to be cleared tomorrow. He's going to come back to the ballpark and they're going to evaluate him, see if he needs a rehab assignment. That does not mean that Alex Bregman or Kyle Tucker is coming back to the lineup this week, but how big would it be to add these guys back to the Astros lineup, Clay?
Well, look, I think obviously they're huge bats, right? You know, Tucker's, I've been pretty consistent this year for the Houston Astros. Everybody knows, you know, the missing component that, you know, Bregman brings not only at the lineup, but defensively as well as in the locker room, you know, and sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes it's just a guy like that. Well, both those guys for that matter, that can come in and, you know, fire up the ball club. You know, there's certain guys that kind of help lead some of these really good young teams and can say the right things. I think Bregman's been a huge piece of that for the Houston Astros in the past, as well as the future. I know we've talked about that in the offseason and what it means for him to be an Astro and what he brings to the table. And that's a big missing component. I think, you know, it's going to be the injection, you know, the Houston Astros probably need and want at this time right now, although Tucker is a little bit to be determined, so to speak. You know, I think with both those guys coming back quickly, I think, you know, there's still a chance to finish with a decent August for that matter. And hopefully roll into September with some momentum.
Yeah, I heard. I heard before the game, Julia and the guys were talking about Alex Bregman's presence. Just the fact that he was there in BP, they said it was like the feeling was a little different because he was there, and he brings that bravado. He brings that. I mean, he is Alex Bregman. He is one of the leaders of this ball club. But as a player, as someone who played in the major leagues, when, you know, the fan base is freaking out, you know, there's a lot of angst and a lot of frustration on Twitter. And of course I've gone to more joking about this than like being really serious, so I don't get my nerves worked up, but are players pressing when they're playing these teams and not beating them? Or are they just like, okay, we lost, we got to just hit the ground running tomorrow? You know what I'm saying? Does it become a mental battle because it's a bad team, or because it's a bad team, you just like, okay, we just got to chalk it up. That was yesterday. Tomorrow's a new day.
Well, you know, I think where you're seeing some of the, I guess for point in case tonight, you know, when you see some of the mental mistakes, you know, ground ball back to the pitcher, you know, rushing the throw, you know, stuff like that, where you're airmailing, you know, that should be outs, you know, keeping your ball club close. When that happens against, I guess, teams that you should be beating when you're as good as the Houston Astros are, it gets a little deflating. Yeah, I mean, it does. You know, from a player standpoint, and even the guys out there on the field, you know, it's one of those things where it's just like, come on, you know, this has got to get pulled together. But, you know, I wouldn't say that it was, you know, it's something that, you know, really messes with the psyche or anything like that. You know, it's just little mental mistakes. You know, but, you know, absolutely having a guy like Bregman come back in, showing his face around the yard, being in the locker room with the guys, you know, I'm sure probably getting treatment from his training staff, which is always going to be better than any minor league, you know, training staff. And I'm not taking anything away from the Sugarland Skeeters training staff, but the fact of the matter is the technology and all the doctors are up there at the stadium on a daily basis. So he's going to get the best treatment there, which is huge, I think, ever since they've decided to make that move over there with Sugarland, because it is a big deal. You know, having his presence on the field, being around the guys, you know, keeping it loose. You know, like I said, there's guys like that, heck, there's guys that have stayed in the big leagues a long time that didn't produce that well on the field, but specifically for that reason, they were great locker room guys and they helped bring the team together. So it's good to have him around, I'm sure. And I'm sure the staff's good to see him too.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? It kind of treatment and having the right treatment kind of reminds me of Rock Auto, like treating your car right and just having the right parts. So talk to us a little bit about Rock Auto, Brett.
Yeah, so rockauto.com has a family-owned business. They've been around 20 years. They're online. Why go to the counter of an auto supply store where they're going to overcharge you because you're not the professional mechanic down the road? You're going to spend 30, 50, sometimes 100% more, and it's going to be the same parts. And they actually have a better variety. So go to rockauto.com. And you know, Clay's driving around in that sweet minivan. He's got carpet. He's got the old VHS in there. Whatever he's got in his car or in his minivan, they will be able to replace it. Because you know he's got that thing lifted on a 42-inch lift kit. He's got some big tires that he's mudding in. Because he's got to take something out to that ranch, right, Clay? So go to rockauto.com and check out all the parts they have for your car or truck. They have a reliable low prices. They're an easily navigable website. And again, like I said, family owned for 20 years. Why wouldn't you want to go there? Go to rockauto.com where they have the best prices every day for your car or truck. Reliable low prices, easily navigate. When you check out in the Where Did You Hear About Us box, type the words Locked On so they know that we sent you. Great prices, all the parts you'll ever need at rockauto.com.
All right. So speaking of that, like joining us live, I know the chat's great, but joining us in an actual conversation is great. So Spotify Green Room is a great place to do that. We had a great conversation this weekend. So tell us a little bit about Spotify Green Room.
So Spotify Green Room's changing the way that we're talking about sports. It allows you to come in to our podcast like Clay did, jumped in right in, got into the conversation. You can be a superstar. You don't have to have won a World Series like Clay Hensley. You don't have to have pitched to the major like Clay, but you could feel like a World Series winner hanging out with us. Look me up, HTL Wheelhouse. Look up Eric Heisman on there and join the MLB, the NFL, the NBA, all the different sports rooms, and come join us on Friday or Saturday night each week. We talk, you become part of the show. We produce the podcast. You get to be heard all around the world. So Spotify Green Room, download it, look for us, add us in there, and join us in the conversation. Spotify Green Room is changing the way that we talk about sports.
Okay, Clay Hensley, I know a lot of the talk around here is Jacob Rizzi and how he looks really good in one game and looks terrible in the next game. And a lot of the talk has been, well, he's thrown to Jason Castro in one game, Martin Maldonado in another game. Is changing the catcher really a big deal for a pitcher?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, look, especially when you're coming out of the bullpen and stuff, it is what it is because, you know, when you are playing, you know, in the National League, there's double switches and whatnot, you know, you're going to move some catchers around. So the two main battery mates are going to pretty much work with all the pitchers at any given time. Now, some of the starters are going to prefer to go maybe with a certain catcher more than the other. But even still to that point, usually whenever there's the guy that's behind the dish and he's your starting catcher, he's going to be catching most of the brunt of the pitchers. So, you know, I don't think it's really as big of a deal. It never was a really big deal for me, to be honest with you, who was back there receiving. I think that was probably the biggest thing, you know, because at this level, these guys are going to be calling their pitches. You know, if you're not studying the game, which there's plenty of, you know, the new technology that's out and has been out with all the video and all the advanced scouting that's out there and all the information available to the pitching staff and the catchers as well. You know, you should be able to dial in these lineups pretty good on your own. Doesn't matter who's catching, but you know, inconsistencies can come from a number of places. You know, I can say that if it starts to get into your head a little bit as a pitcher, that you're struggling with one guy, you know, I guess some of us are a little bit superstitious in that regard whenever we're out there on the mound, and some guys more so than others. So, you know, that kind of starts to creep into their mind a little bit, and then it can play into, you know, how they're pitching throughout the game. And it does help develop inconsistencies. But, you know, the fact of the matter is going out there, pumping the strike zone, filling the strike zone up, and trying to pitch to contact is kind of the key to kind of mediate a lot of the inconsistencies you'll see some of these pitchers have.
All right. So, Brett, we have tickets for Wednesday's game. I know it's a day game, but
two tickets.
So you have a question for them?
Yeah. So after I give, I'm going to give my question. And then as we're waiting for the answer, I want Clay to tell us about a charity event, a golf tournament that he is helping organize that is going to be here, I believe, in Pearland. So here is your trivia question for two tickets to Wednesday's afternoon game. Who led the Houston Astros in wins in 2005? What pitcher led the Houston Astros in wins in 2005? So, Clay, tell us about your golf tournament.
And yeah, so, right. So, we're doing an inaugural annual golf tournament, whatever, for the Texas Team Foundation. Amanda Makowicz, you know, my lady, my girl, she's the president of the foundation. And, the charity deals with assisting, you know, first responders and military families in time of need. You know, whenever there's something that happens or tragedy strikes, the heroes that keep us safe on a daily basis and those that have served, you know, we jump in and help bridge and mitigate some of the stuff that they may be dealing with and take that off their shoulders so they can focus on their family. And if there's things that they need, we kind of go in there and help assist replacing a lot of that stuff. You know, it's been a really great experience since I've been involved with this. And we decided to start doing this golf tournament. So it's going to be at Golf Crest Country Club in Pearland. You can go to the Texas Team Foundation to sign up for it. And I got a band that I'm flying out to do a concert after the tournament. So we have some big boy auctions that are going to be awesome. We have, you know, signed memorabilia, trips. We have Callaway's going to be one of our sponsors for it as well. And it's going to be I'm calling in, all the favors I can with all the companies that I've worked with in the past and golf tournaments we've done. So ideally, we're going to start this one right now. It's going to be a 1-day event, and we're going to move this into a 2-day event where it turns into a gala the night before with a concert. And then the next day is going to be a tournament. But we're giving jackets away for the winners, and it's going to be real legit, man. We're doing it's a scramble, but we have officials with every team, so there's no cheating. But it's going
to
be fun.
If you want us to donate an H-Town Wheelhouse and Eric Heisman but signed baseball,
yeah,
you can put the minimum bid at like $500
or $5.
$500. Okay,
let's absolutely do that. You know, okay. But we need to, we need to get some of the guys in the local area. You know, we want as many people to come out. Like I said, we're hosting a concert after the tournament, so. You know, whoever's playing, you know, get your significant other to meet us up there and, have some drinks and mix it around. We're going to have a few celebrities out there and, you know, anywhere from professional skaters to musicians to, dumb baseball players like myself. So, and we're out there to support these first responders in local area, but primarily in Texas and moving this game nationally, man.
Do you have your team already organized? Are you already on a scramble group? I do.
I got a little bit of some decent players coming in, but you know, look, it's not about I'm not going to try to win this thing. You know, I mean, if we do, we do. No,
well, no, I need you to find me some partners because I definitely want to try to come out there and support you guys and be a part. So we'll talk off air. So hey, absolutely. The winner of the tickets is PS4 Gaming. He said he can go to the game, and it was Roy Oswalt. And so in 1999, though, Mike Hampton had the most wins with 22 in Astros history. Roy Oswalt won 20 games in 2005. So
that's what got Mike to Colorado after that, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got that big guy. Yeah. He got that contract. So, PS4 Gaming DM me on Twitter, 5 cents. I don't know what that means.
The baseball, how much our baseball would be worth. So,
you can bite me. I'm joking. we were in line, Clay. We were in line at Jackson Street Barbecue. Old dude looks at us and he goes, "Hey, what's up, man? I love y'all's show. I watch y'all every day." We're like, "What's up?" You know? And whenever I'm there and Eric's not there, like, "Where's Eric?" You know? And so
when you become infamous, you know, when they got your picture at the post office.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
So I know Jose Urquidy is going to start on Tuesday's game for the Skeeters, and they're hoping he goes five innings, and then they're going to reevaluate him, see if he's able to come back to the rotation. Do you see the Astros, especially with the rosters expanding in September, do you see the Astros going to a six-man rotation and sticking with it for a limited time, or a kind of for the rest of the season type of time?
You know, I think right now it's going to be very indicative to see what the schedule shakes out to be like for the month of September in terms of off days and the teams being played. I think that's going to be a big factor in whether they're going to do, whether they'll stick with a six-man rotation. But look, he's going to be activated probably after the 29th. So that's going to be getting pretty close to, you know, the roster's expanding, obviously, 2 days from my birthday, by the way, but a young 42. But at the same time, you know, it's going to really depend on how they're pitching and how the pitching staff's holding up. You know, if they're burning into the bullpen, you know, you're going to probably have to continue with the six-man rotation and try to save some of those guys, because bullpen's been pretty steady for them. It's been pretty consistent for the most part. And you got to keep those guys rested, especially going into September in the playoffs, you know, because bullpens win World Series for you.
So you don't see them taking Jake Odorizzi out of the rotation at this point?
Not right now. No, I don't. No, I think moving into to September, I think they're going to probably keep it the way it is, move with a six-man rotation and then give some of those guys rest that have been pitching all year.
Okay, Kendall Graveman, I don't know if you had a chance to see him pitch much, but what do you think of his talent overall?
I haven't had a chance to see him pitch very much, to be honest with you, you know, but look, if you got he's got command of his fastball, you know, in the off-speed pitches, if he's throwing them well enough to where he can just pitch off of those and pitch off that fastball and just fill up the zone, that's all they're looking for right now, you know. And, you know, it remains to be seen, because, look, the fact of the matter is, when you have small sample sizes with, you know, new clubs, and whenever you come over to a team or whenever you come up, it's, you know, time will tell, you know, but the stuff's there.
Yeah. So I know the Astros went out and they really improved their bullpen. I know the bullpen, even the best bullpens, are going to struggle. Like Aroldis Chapman, he goes through his periods where he gives up home runs left and right. And so even the best bullpens are going to struggle. But it just seems like the Astros just go through this stretch where they're hitting a lot of, they're scoring a lot of runs, and they go through a stretch where they're not scoring. But it seems like the starters, for the most part, have been pretty consistent over the past week. And that's a good sign. And the bullpen has been a little off, but like 2 weeks ago, it was the opposite way. The bullpen was really dominant, and then the starters. So is that typical during the season, especially in August?
Well, without it, I mean, I think that's typical for every club throughout the season at some point. So the idea, you know, whenever, you know, teams are good enough to go into the playoffs, you know, that it's a playoff caliber team, and you know, probably got a pretty good shot of maybe taking the title again. That's the stars also have to align in some respects, you know, where everybody's got to be firing on all cylinders at the right time, which is why I think it's so important to have a full schedule, you know, a full season like we're having this year, as opposed to, you know, really getting an idea of what players or teams are capable of in a small sample size, like last year, dealing with the pandemic and working around that in a limited schedule. So, you know, that's where, yeah, that also, you know, going back to the inconsistencies about winning against ball clubs or losing against ball clubs that you should be beating, that's what that happens. You know, whenever you have starters going out and the bullpen's faltering a little bit, it's going to be tough to either hold on to a lead or maintain the game close enough for them to come back if you're falling behind. So it is something that happens throughout the year on every ball club. The idea is for September to be that bridge. If this is a struggle like it is right now for the end of August, to start getting all those cylinders firing at the same time. So when you move into the playoffs, everybody's ready and rocking and rolling, and you know, the team's won at that point.
Larry, the GM, cover your ears and everybody else, but there's a narrative around the Astros about they always seem to struggle in August. Is that a lot of teams that do it? Or, I mean, is that just something?
You'll see that for sure. Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, because, but yeah, that's exactly what the, you know, expanding the rosters is for. You know, it's not just to give, you know, a look at what, you know, some of your young prospects. It's actually for the young prospects that, you know, maybe be a part of this team in 2022 to come up and help out. And that was one of the things that was told to me when I got up with San Diego when we were in the, you know, up until last year, it was the last time that they, you know, had made it to the playoffs, and we were a playoff caliber team. So when we came up, it wasn't just like, hey, here we go, we're going to take a look. It's like, you know, you're coming up and you were expected to help the ball club continue the course and the path that it's on to win. So that's what September's for. And then, you know, there's going to be an expectation that the young guys that do come up, and perform. And that's going to be big for them.
Okay, so here's the deal. We had PS4 Gamer won the two tickets. He just told me he wants to offer them to somebody else to go, because I sent him some other tickets I had in auxiliary. And so there are still the two tickets that are available. And I will do another Astros trivia question, or I can just let's see.
Well, we had this, if he's still here, the G Garcia, he also answered earlier.
Oh, he did. Okay. Did he say Roy Oswalt? G Garcia? Yeah. Okay. Roy Oswalt did. Okay. So G Garcia, if you're still here, G Garcia, send me a message on Twitter and I will send you those two tickets. They will be absolutely free. We had a listener donate some other tickets as well. And so, I gave him the option and he took the other ones. And so we've got these two left. So G Garcia, we're just giving away free tickets all over the place. So that's what we do here at Locked On Astros. And, you know, Clay, we love bringing you in. We love having your perspective because, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about knowing what's really going on behind the scenes. I do believe that the Astros are better than what they're showing. It is tough to watch the team struggle game in and game out. I don't necessarily know that I buy. Well, I always hear, well, the Astros just struggle in August, but every year they're a different team, right? And right. So I think sometimes that we forget that they're professional ball players on the other side of the diamond. Like, they may be a bad team, but they're still pros. And right, they right, probably yeah. more than anything probably have a little bit more like oomph or extra, because I know Whit Merrifield hates the Astros. I mean, he's literally said it without using the word hate, and I can't stand that guy. I don't like him for all the wrong reasons. It's not that I don't like him because he gets hits. I don't like him because he won't ever shut up about the 2017 Astros, and he's still mad about Altuve getting the All-Star bid over him. It's like, cry me a river, Francis. Go out and play baseball. You know, you're right. A freaking major leaguer. You have more hits than anybody in the major leagues in the last 5 years. So why are we crying? I mean, I'm sorry you're in KC, and I'm sorry they haven't done anything since 2015. But at the same time, it's just one of those things where I think as fans, we have this expectation, and when they don't meet that, it's like, what's going on? And why can't y'all get it together? Right. You know, and you know, and I joked earlier about them running foul poles and doing burpees and having consequences after the game like we do with little leaguers. But at the end of the day, it's not that simple.
Yeah. Well, you know, to kind of look, the reality of it is, if you look at a lot of ball clubs, a lot of them are struggling in August. You know, like the staff is starting to get a little tired. Like, again, this is why September expansion rosters is why it's done. You know, it's done to give the guys a break, and it's done to like kind of give the teams that are in contention, the guys, the main horses that have been there all most of the season, kind of a little breather to like regroup and get ready to go for September. So look, right now, what's important, I think, for the Houston Astros and maybe for the fans to understand is that, look, the game's not easy. You know, the reality of it is the game's not easy. As easy as a lot of these guys make it look on TV, it's not easy. And just like you said, on the other side of the diamond, those are professional athletes. You know, just because they might be struggling, hey, they got nothing to lose, man. So those guys are playing loose. You know, I've been on some losing ball clubs, and those were some of the most fun clubs that I was on because it's so loose and the expectation is not there. So, but the fact of the matter is that what is important for the, you know, like I was just about to say, what's important for the fans that everybody realize is that right now it's still the end of August. Let's get into September. You know, maybe we can kind of like get a little concerned and panicked if we're in a position to where the team's not going to potentially make the playoffs. It's gotten that bad, but right now it's just about getting in, you know, and if the team's playing well enough to kind of stay in front of it right now and start firing all cylinders in September, then, you know, hey, we're not even talking about August 23rd.
Yeah, for sure. So it looks like the Mariners just tied a game 3-3. Yes. So that doesn't mean they're going to win. So
we are all Mariners tonight.
No Mariners. Good copy. Good copy out there.
Yeah. So anyway, so I think that's all we got. I know that we're going to play two more games versus Royals, and we're going to head off to Arlington to play the Rangers. So hopefully we'll be getting Bregman and maybe Tucker back in Arlington. That's my prediction, is they're going to be coming back in Arlington, not the next 2 days, but they'll be bit welcome additions, but we'll see. But the Royals got 13 hits today, and that just reminds me of a certain playoff game where it just seems like the back in 2015, where in the game four of the ALCS, where the they just kept on getting hit after hit after against the Astros. Correct. Then so yeah. Anyway, Clay, thank you for joining us. Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at CHensley32 and Instagram at Clay Hensley. But hey, I just want to leave it with this. Most importantly, look, Astros fans, it's a long season. Got a great ball club. Keep the faith. Don't live and die by each game, and just understand that there's a lot of guys coming off the injured list that are going to play a big piece of this, and look for September to be hot. So, you know, stay positive with it.
Yeah, they definitely play a lot better in September. So, that's all we got for tonight's Locked On Astros podcast. Don't forget to go check out the Locked On Bets podcast, and we'll be back tomorrow with another Locked On Astros podcast. Now, I believe Brett has on Wednesday, you have a big guest, and we'll talk about that guest tomorrow. So, not as big as Mr. Clay Hensley.
Yeah, right.
All right. So that's all we got. We'll talk to you tomorrow.